name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We join in the entrance psalm. I am the good shepherd.
I know my own, and my own know me.
And I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I am the good shepherd.
I know my own, and my own know me,
and I lay down my life for the sheep. Lord, the Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Be seated. The first reading for this fourth Sunday after Easter is found in Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
Our epistle reading is found in the third chapter of the first letter of John, beginning at verse 16. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand in honor of the gospel of our Lord and Savior.
Alleluia.
Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us now confess our faith to one another and to the world in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us made, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to glory. grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation today is our gospel reading from John chapter 10. Let us pray. O Lord, my God, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. You know, I've talked to a lot of people about how busy their lives have been over the last couple of months. And some have said it was the busiest time of their lives. Sometimes I feel the same way, and perhaps it's a feeling you have as well, or have felt. You feel the strain of life that is just kind of a blur of activity. The tension of all these countless jobs that are piled one upon another. The exhaustion of going to bed without having had a real break during the day to kind of allow you to relax and clear your mind of all your worries and all your concerns. Now, I don't know why the pace of life seems to have accelerated beyond that which seems to be normal experience. When the temperatures are warm and the humidity kind of creeps up like it did the last few days, until last night, of course, when this front came through and gives us this beautiful weather. But you know, the trees are budding out, the plants are beginning to flower. Now, whatever the reason for all this activity and busyness that we're experiencing, one thing is certain. Many people are finding little rest for themselves in the springtime. They want to get all these things done, have all these projects they want to do. And so maybe we need to stop and just consider for a moment the following. What I hope and what I pray for you today, pardon me, is that you don't experience your Christian faith and your commitment in the same way that you experience all these other things that are going on in your life. That in fact, you find in your faith strength for your life, rather than just finding it to be one more set of tasks and concerns that when added to all the rest of the things you have to do, it tends to overwhelm you. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people look upon Christian life that way, upon worship, upon their involvement in the Church of Jesus Christ, as being simply one more bunch of things that they must do. As being simply another drain on their already scarce physical, emotional, spiritual resources. And even more unfortunately, I think a lot of pastors, as I met with our pastors in the circuit a couple of weeks ago, I think a lot of shepherds in charge of God's flock, God's people, they kind of add to this feeling. We find ourselves guilty as pastors, kind of telling the people over and over again what we need to do and what we should do if we feel that we must be, if we would consider ourselves to be Christians, if we consider ourselves to be loved by God. In all too many churches, I sometimes fear that a lot of stress is put on knowing Christ and not enough about how He knows us. A lot of stress is placed on what it is that we should do or should not do as His disciples, and not enough stress placed on the miracles of what God does for us. If we would just simply listen, trust in Him, and listen to His voice. In some churches, I think we're told that Christians have to care for the world. They should be concerned about the environment. We have to be involved in caring for refugees. We have to strive to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, bring justice to the poor. We're told what we can do for the world, but not what God wants to do for us. In some churches, I feel we're told that the faithful must tithe, that they must faithfully dedicate themselves to go to the service, and that those who are devoted to Christ will read their Bibles daily and pray every day. And furthermore, they're going to be actively involved in all the groups of the church, either as leaders or as helpers or as participants. We're told what a good Christian does for himself and for his church, And it's suggested, or at least implied, that God does nothing for us if we don't do these things. In so many places, we're continually told what it is we need to do, or at least what it is we should do. And I grant you, there's a lot of merit in all of that. But when that happens, the danger is that the good news of our faith, the gospel, can be lost. The gospel, my friends, is lost whenever our actions are stressed and the love and the intercession of God in our lives is ignored or kind of downplayed. The gospel is lost whenever our salvation and the salvation of the world is linked to our activity, to what we do and feel, instead of being linked to the activity of God and what God feels and what God does for us. In our first reading today in the book of Acts, we heard how Peter and John were arrested for healing a cripple, and then proclaiming to the people that it was through Jesus that sins are forgiven and the dead are resurrected. At their trial that next morning, we heard how the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law questioned Peter and John about the healing they performed. They asked them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" And they were very quick to say, "By the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of Nazareth, the one, you know, y'all crucified, but God raised him." And then they went on to say, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." In other words, it is Jesus Christ and his love shown to us on that cross. It's by that that we're saved. And it's in his name that we receive power. And all that we do that has a lasting value is done not by ourselves, but by the Holy Spirit working through us and honoring that name that we use. All kinds of obstacles, all kinds of dangers in our lives, a lot of things that drain our energy and things that challenge us. And alone, we can be kind of overwhelmed by it. But the good news is, we're not alone. There is one who watches over us, who gives us the strength, who gives us the protection that we need. There's an old Chinese proverb that tells the story of a fox captured by a tiger. The fox said, "You can't eat me because the gods have made me the leader of all the animals." Well, the tiger didn't believe him, of course, but the fox said, "Follow me and see if any animal challenges me." The tiger agreed, so he followed directly behind that fox all the way through the forest. To the tiger's amazement, it turned out to be exactly as the fox said. Not a single animal challenged that fox. Indeed, every animal they met fled in sheer panic. After several such encounters, the tiger finally agreed that the fox was the leader of all the animals and let him go. Of course, you see, the proverb teaches it's very easy to remove obstacles that oppose us if we got a tiger behind us. And that's what Peter is teaching us here in the gospel lesson. We hear of that tiger. King David in the 23rd Psalm spoke of it, the words we spoke earlier, that God is walking with us, who overcomes that which is overwhelming. It is Christ who heals, Christ who saves, not man, but the good shepherd, the one who brings comfort to his flock. Not the sheep over whom he watches. In this, now, I'm not saying that we don't need to help each other or that we don't have jobs to do. We certainly do. But what I am saying is that what we do should come a lot easier for us, I think, more often than it does. I'm saying that if we don't experience some grace in what we do, if our work is kind of wearing us down rather than building us up, then we need to turn to our Lord for help. We need to rest ourselves in Him, and that which he provides, rather than trying to go on and on and on without a pause, without a break, and just keep trying to do still more and more. To use the words of the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus' strength is going to shield your weakness, and you're going to find new courage. We're called in our lives to do many things. And all these things can overwhelm us if we don't stay anchored to that rock which does not move. Indeed, our helping others can exhaust us if we don't remain attached to the one who can help us. So what I'm really trying to say today is that even when we don't stay attached to the one who can help us, even when we kind of find ourselves adrift and kind of lost out there and fail to keep in touch with God, you might say, even when we fail to know God, that God continues to know us. And God continues to reach out to us. And he can give us what we need. Throughout Scripture, that truth is expressed in every single profound image. But probably the most profound image is that one of a shepherd. Now, shepherding in the Mideast at the time of Jesus and before his time was probably a lot different than it is in the world today. Sheep were kept by their owners for many, many years. And as such, they were not just animals to be slaughtered for meat, but they were primarily kept for their wool. And so as a result of them keeping them for that period of time, the shepherds led their animals, didn't drive them. And if you've ever tried to drive sheep, you know how fruitless it is.
Yeah.
You got to lead them. And those shepherds stayed with the flock day and night, protecting them with that rod, which was had kind of a short-knobbed club from wild animals, robbers, and retrieving them from the dangerous places, which had a crook on the other end where they could reach out and grab them and drag them to safety. Like I said, they've kept their animals for years and years. And so they came to know them very well. And the sheep, in turn, knew them very well. In fact, there's a story written by an H.V. Morton, a Bible scholar, that he noticed in a cave near Bethlehem one time. Two shepherds had sheltered their flock. The next morning, whenever they got up, they were faced with the problem of trying to sort their sheep out because they just put them all together in that cave. So one of the shepherds stood out a little distance away from the cave, and he gave a particular call, which, of course, the sheep knew. And soon his whole flock just ran to it, leaving behind the other sheep for their shepherd, who refused to come to that first shepherd because they didn't know his voice. The shepherd's job, of course, is to protect, to provide for the sheep. And that is what God does for us. We spoke those words earlier. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're all familiar with that psalm, aren't we? How he makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me to still waters, restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're with me. The rod, the staff, they comfort me. Those are some great words about our Lord. Words that we do well to take comfort and remember. God, like a shepherd, helps his sheep. He helps us. There is nothing that we need to do to receive his help. It's always there for us. It's been won for us on the cross of Jesus, secured for us forever by his resurrection. God watches over, he protects his sheep. Whenever we cry out, he comes to us. When we look for him, he's there to assist us. When we're in danger, he rescues us. The most marvelous thing about all this is that when we stray from him, he seeks us out. He constantly strives to nourish us, to bring us back, to safety and the comfort of his fold. It's so easy to get lost in our world, to run around doing all these things that have to be done and kind of lose track of where we are and where we should be. It's so easy to be so busy that we get so tired out and we find ourselves hungering for peace, but we don't know where to find it. And we end up in need of help. It's during those times that we all have to simply stop doing things for a moment. Just stop and look where we are. And if the shepherd's in our sight, we're not lost. Then all we need to do is to continue doing nothing for a moment or two and just enjoy the place he's brought us to. For in it will be green pastures, and in it will be those still waters wherein we refresh ourselves. This is such a place. God has led you here today, and here there is food for your journey. Eternal food of which we will partake shortly. Here there is water for refreshment. Here is what your soul needs. A time of rest. A time of strengthening in the presence of our Lord and his people. But if when we finally realize our need for a helping hand, if we stop around and we cannot see the shepherd, and we cannot see the other members of the fold, then what we need to do is to simply call out to him. Because that good shepherd is looking for you. He's ready. And he's waiting to hear from you. Indeed, it's a busy time for all of us. And much of, if not all of what we are doing, needs to be done. But there are times of activity that will drain us. But they will not drain us totally because we have Jesus as our good shepherd. And he's there to comfort us, to restore our souls. So I encourage you to pause, meditate on his presence in your midst. Think about how God knows where you are. He answers your call, even now, in giving you the strength you need at this moment. For that, we give praise to God, our good shepherd, our friend, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. Let us now pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Shepherd of Israel, in your Son Jesus Christ, you have sought out your sheep and gathered us into your flock. Keep us always in your fold and guard us from every wolf and snare. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you alone gather us as your sheep and send faithful shepherds to us. Call all who have wandered from your flock and bless the faithful shepherds who gather them through the voice of your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son has called us to love our brothers. Turn us in love toward the neighbors closest to us, especially within our own homes, that we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and truth, laying down our lives as Christ did for us. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, through the Paschal Lamb, you have wrought peace between man and God. By your gift of good government, grant peace and good days also to our citizens and between the nations of the world, that we and all our neighbors may lead quiet lives in godly contentment. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, by the first fruits of Christ's life from the dead, you secured forgiveness for our troubled conscience. Bless also with temporal health and well-being those who suffer among us, especially Pastor Scott and Judy, Larry, Mary and Alfred, Cynthia, Cassidy and her twins, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Don and Donna, Adeline and Ron, and all others that we name within our hearts. Grant them aid in this moment, and even more so, true immortal health in the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our shepherd, you calm all fears in this valley of the shadow of death, and you prepare the holy table of your Son's testament for us in the presence of our enemies. Grant us repentant and faithful hearts in every tribulation or besetting sin. Lead us to find comfort and strength in your overflowing mercy given to us here in this sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners and given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps in every affliction, we also may know him, trust him, seek him, and comfort in him. Heartily obey his voice and obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.